It's time for another episode of Blackhawks Crazy,
presented by FanList.
Kane back of the net. He sent it in front. Carpenter to slice. He scores! And Patrick Kane has 1,000 NHL points!
Chris Bowden and Joe Brand break down the latest storylines concerning your Chicago Blackhawks.
Here's the shot blocked by Coyne. Coyne shovels it out in front of her. It's a one-on-one. Coyne with a shorthanded chance. He scores!
As a young kid, I always dreamed to be a part of this organization. And while that has evolved over time from maybe being a player to being a player development coach, it's finally here, and I'm so excited to be a part of this organization.
Here's Chris Bowden and Joe Brand.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for checking in for another edition of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Chris Bowden here, your pre- and post-game host for Blackhawks Hockey on WGN Radio. Flying solo on this edition, Joe Brand has himself other commitments here this week. But we are not going to hear, or you're not going to hear, a whole lot of talking from me anyway, because now that the guys have hit the ice, we are hearing from them as training camp got underway Monday. For the short 9-day lead-up to the 56 games in less than 4 months. Now, our previous podcast focused on the three notable personnel losses the team announced within a span of a few days. The knee surgery for Alex Nylander, the wrist injury at the World Juniors that required surgery for Kirby Dach, and the unknown illness that doctors are working with Jonathan Toews on. They're still trying to pinpoint from fatigue and lethargy symptoms that arose since the Hawks last played in mid-August. Now, it is certainly not the preferable way to begin a season, but it's not like it's never happened to other teams at certain points before either. And through the first couple of days of practices, the players, the coaching staff, they have shifted that disappointing news to making it a challenge to themselves and an opportunity. Duncan Keith said as much several times when he spoke with the media on Tuesday after putting in a couple of 25-minute scrimmages. No different either for other veterans like Connor Murphy and Alex DeBrincat. And in this podcast, you'll hear that reflected, among other things, in the voices of Jeremy Colleton and Dylan Strome. But before we hear from the head coach and the newly re-signed center, let's hear it from Patrick Kane during his Q&A with the media on Monday. He touches on that topic. He reacts to the moves and the outspoken philosophy that the organization has taken since he last played in the game. And you'll also hear him react to the schedule and the format that this unique season brings, how he's been on the line here at the outset of camp with Strome and DeBrincat, but mostly reacting to change, learning to embrace it and leading others through it, and the change that has also come for him at home. He now plays also for Team Fatherhood after he became a father for the first time in November when his son, Patrick Timothy Kane III, was born.
It's been a lot of fun, you know. I can enjoy my mornings like training and skating, and then there's really no better feeling in the world going back home and seeing Amanda and seeing your son. So it's been awesome. Obviously there's certain new challenges that come with being a father, but I've really enjoyed it so far, and it's been amazing just hanging out with him and getting to know him, and like I said, seeing him after my days of work.
Obviously a lot of changes on the ice too over the past couple of months. You had Corey Crawford was allowed to leave. The team openly uses the word rebuild. You lose Dach and Nylander. You have the disconcerting news about Toews. I don't know if you've ever entered a season like this before. What's the mentality and what are the expectations inside that room?
I think just a lot of opportunity. A lot of opportunity for players to establish themselves as NHL players, for guys that have done that to establish themselves as elite players. And we have a pretty young team. And there's a lot of opportunity here going forward. So, you know, it's an exciting time. It's exciting to, for me personally, just kind of be myself. I've always enjoyed being around the young guys, and nothing really changes in that department. So, you know, I can learn from them too. So it's, as far as where we're at, there's a lot of opportunity, and just try to build and get better every day and be prepared come the 13th.
Dylan was just talking about he was thrilled to get his deal done and be able to start here for training camp. And how beneficial is that for the three of you, especially if you guys are together this season, to start off immediately together?
Yeah, it's good. I think both him and DeBrincat have looked good in our skates. So I think they're prepared. They want to take the next step as well. Obviously nice for him to get a deal done. I'm sure it's a weight off his shoulders, and yeah, I'm sure lines will change throughout the season, maybe even throughout training camp, throughout games. So, you know, us three have played together before. I think we've developed some chemistry. I've always liked playing with Stromer. He's a guy that I feel like I've had some chemistry with, and I've scored a lot playing with him. And then with the DeBrincat, I think we're always kind of together, whether it's training and skating. So I've developed a good friendship with him, and sometimes that can translate to some on-ice success too. So we're always talking about how we can get better and how we can build our chemistry too. So it's an ongoing process, but I would be excited to play with those two guys, and I think we can do some pretty good damage.
I just want to ask you if you've communicated much with Kirby Dach since his injury, and what advice you may have had for him.
It's tough for him, you know, to lose, you know, 4 or 5 months or whatever it is. And I know he said he was feeling really good at like training camp for World Juniors. He was excited about the season. We probably would have saw a lot of time together on the ice this year. So it would have been fun to build that chemistry, but I'm sure he'll be ready to come back whenever that is. And I think sometimes, you know, you're injured for 4 or 5 months. You just want to make sure you're staying okay mentally, and you know, everything's good at that aspect. So we'll keep checking in on him. Obviously, he's living with Siebe, so you know that's a good situation for him. But yeah, I feel bad for him because I think he was ready to take that next step this year.
Also, Patrick, have you talked to Taves at all? And how is he doing? You know, we only really got the press release as far as his medical situation.
Yeah, I've talked to him. You know, I don't really know how much I want to dive into those conversations to just respect his privacy. But I guess, you know, I'd probably just say that hopefully we have him back soon. And if not, I think all of us kind of told him just to make sure he's okay before that happens. So, you know, he's obviously in the back of our minds, and we're thinking about him. And you know, it doesn't really feel like a team without Johnny as your captain. So we definitely miss him, but he's got to take care of his first.
Hey, Patrick, kind of just expanding on that. How does not having Jonathan change the mood in the locker room and around the team, and how does it maybe change your role, if any?
You know, like I said, I don't really think anything really changes for me. Be myself. You know, obviously, you know, I want to help these young guys develop, and I feel like I've done that over the course of my career. So that's just kind of me being myself once again. But yeah, we miss him, obviously. I mean, he's a big part of this team. He's a big part of the organization. You know, he's been our captain for a long time, and he's you know, no question, our biggest leader. So you miss him for sure. And, you know, that's just the way it is. What are you going to do? I think, you know, for us, it's a situation where, you know, someone else is going to get a chance to step up and play some big minutes and play a big role. And it's a chance for us to come together as a team take a step forward. But like I said, obviously we'll miss him, and it's going to be tough to do that without him. But that's just the situation we're in.
Hey, Patrick, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this baseball-type schedule. How excited are you to try this, and what's your feeling on maybe the quality of hockey given the minimal travel?
Yeah, I think it's good in that aspect. I think you know, talking to people around here, it seems like our hours are way down on the travel, so that'll be nice. You know, I like playing different teams. But I guess for this year, that's just the way it is. You know, there's, you know, situations in the schedule where, you know, you're going to be playing teams three times in a row. So I think it'll be nice to maybe, you know, make a little note internally that maybe you want to beat that team 2 out of 3 or take a series from them. I know we play each team 8 times. So we're playing some good teams. I think our division's pretty tough, but I think if we can come together as a team, I think the biggest thing is probably get off to a good start. You know, we have 56 games. We get off to a good start. We get some confidence. Hopefully we can keep it rolling a little bit. But, yeah, it'll be different and kind of reminds me of the schedule when, you know, I first came into the league when you're playing the Detroits, the Nashvilles, the Columbuses, the St. Louis, you know, six, seven, eight times a season, and then only playing the teams from the East one time. So it's similar to that, but it's every game's huge because every game's in your division. So I'm sure we'll make a note of that too.
Will it be strange not playing at the United Center without fans now that it's a reality?
Yeah. I mean, of course it's going to be strange. We'll miss the fans for sure. I guess, you know, as an optimist, hopefully, you know, that kind of stuff changes and you can filter some people into the building and that'll change throughout the season. But for now, you know, I think as a community and as a team and organization, we're working as hard as we can to just stay safe and follow the rules and make sure the season goes according to plan here. And we can kind of avoid as many cases as possible. I know probably they'll pop up here or there if it's unavoidable, but I think we can do as much as we can as a team to kind of avoid those situations.
Hey, Patrick, I know it's been some time, but, you know, I'm sure that Corey Crawford not coming back was unexpected. And what was your reaction to that? And then talking with Jeremy and Stan, did it help you become, I guess, get on board with what their vision is for the future?
You know, Crow was such a big part of the team for a long time. As all you guys know, he was, you know, the backbone in that. He had two Stanley Cups to his name. He was a guy that gave us a chance to win every night. So I guess you respect what he did for us as a player. And, you know, as an organization, you have guys at the top that are going to make those calls that you have to respect and you have to abide by. And that's just the way it is. Our job is to go play the games, to try to develop ourselves to be the best we can. And their job is to make those decisions. So as tough as they are sometimes, that's just the way it is. And, it was good hearing from those guys too. I mean, they obviously have a vision and an idea for what now and what the future looks like. And we have to be a part of that. We have to jump on board to what their thinking is and what their vision is so we can help make that happen. So looking forward to being a part of that and trying to make the best of the situation. As a player, I feel like I've always been a guy that kind of just tries to better myself and try not to worry too much about other people's jobs or what the next step is as a franchise. I think as a player, you want to win now. You want to compete now. And I think we can do that with this group. I think we can surprise some people. I really think that we can put together a good team game. And we have a lot of guys that work hard, a lot of guys that are fighting for jobs that will follow that team structure. I think our defense is really strong. We got some tough guys to play against. When you look at like Zadorov and Murphy, I think Boqvist has improved a lot this summer from what I've seen. So hopefully he can take the next step. But yeah, as a player, you just kind of worry about yourself. Do whatever you can to prepare yourself to be the best you can on the ice during these games. Talk to Stan, talk to Jeremy. They're both, you know, Jeremy's a great communicator. He's always talking, always trying to get input. So I guess you appreciate that as a player. But still, like I've said before, and like I said, like I'll keep saying, nothing really changes for me. Enjoy being around the young guys, try to help them develop. Better myself every day, and hopefully we can make the most of the season.
Good hearing from Patty Daddy 2 to Patty 3, as he also joked when asked about whether he wants his son to follow in his footsteps. He said he tried to get his son to hold a mini hockey stick recently, but the kid wasn't very interested. It's early, but Patrick said it'll all be up to his son what he is interested in as he grows up. Not going to force feed him like they do now. Speaking of growing up, that's kind of a secondary catchphrase in this turn to youth, providing a backbone for the future, but, you know, also increased reliability, you hope, as this season goes along. Now the Hawks got a little older on their active roster with the injuries to Nylander and Doc and the signing of Carl Soderberg. Carl's missed the first start of camp due to an issue with immigration documents as he comes over from Sweden, so he wasn't available for the start of the festivities this week at Fifth Third Arena, nor were Brent Seabrook, who felt he was just shy of truly being ready to play back in July following those two hip and one shoulder surgery a year ago. But until the regular season begins, players can just be designated as unfit to participate without any details given. That ends after the regular season starts. And that has been the case with Brent and also Evan Barrett, that promising Penn State product, through Tuesday. Now, Pia Suter, the latest promising overseas free agent that was brought over by Stan Bowman and those European scouts, he missed Monday, but he was on the ice Tuesday and pretty noticeable in the two scrimmages. He scored the very first goal of a scrimmage, battling it out with big Nikita Zadorov out front, while he was also centering a line with last year's Calder finalist Dominic Kubalik and Andrew Shaw. Now, it's not a given that Suter remains at center, though he's played that in the past overseas. But, you know, if he can be steady and productive in that role, all the more better. It'd be a boost without the captain and Kirby Doc. And it's also a boost in the wake of those two injuries that Dylan Strome came to terms late Sunday afternoon on a two-year, $6 million deal after he went through restricted free agency. So he was on the ice at the start Monday, as we mentioned earlier, centering DeBrincat and Kane. So here you'll hear him discuss that, a greater opportunity up in the lineup in the wake of those injuries. He also kind of cites the chip-on-the-shoulder mentality the Blackhawks think they can bring to prove the doubters wrong. Also the super tight 9-day preseason. But he begins with the 11th-hour agreement on a new contract.
Yeah, it's my first time going through it. So it's, I guess it's a little bit of a stressful process, but it's, you know, it's fun. I just wanted to get back out here and not miss any days of camp, and luckily we got it done before that, and definitely happy to be a Blackhawk and happy to stay here, and looking forward to what's ahead.
I obviously don't want to have any guys go down, but without Kirby and Taves here, what sort of opportunity is this for you? Do you see this as a chance for to step up and maybe fill some of their shoes?
Yeah, I mean, those are obviously two pretty key guys to lose. So I'm not sure how long Taser's out, but obviously we're hoping him, wishing him the best, and hopefully he figures out what's going on with him. And you never want to see your captain or anyone on your team go down, for that matter. Kirby's just an unfortunate injury. I mean, he obviously wanted to play in World Juniors, and I think it's important for everyone to play in that. It's a fun tournament. You get to learn so much about yourself and play for your country, and I know he was excited to wear the C, and it's a huge honor to do that. I was lucky enough to do that in 2017, and it's a huge honor. You got a lot of pressure on your back, and but I know he was ready for it, and he was looking forward to it. And you know, unfortunate injury, those things happen sometimes, and I know he's going to be working hard to get back. And for myself, just you know, great opportunity, play with some great players, and have some fun and play hockey. I think a lot of people are doubting us this year, so be nice to turn it around and you know, kind of quiet some people up.
Bill, Alex, before you and now you mentioned, you know, the team being kind of doubted this year. Have you guys talked about that, and what kind of motivation is the low expectations from the outside giving you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we really need to talk about it. I think it's something that obviously everyone reads and everyone's been saying. So you can look at, you know, mock drafts or not mock drafts, but mock seasons or whatever you want to call it, and the rankings or whatever. And, you know, it's just something that we got to embrace. And a lot of people are doubting us, like we both said. And it's going to be a fun process to see where we're at. Maybe some teams will take us more later than maybe we deserve. And hopefully we can, you know, show them where we're still a good hockey team. And a lot of people got a lot of stuff to prove. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting year, but it's going to be fun. I think, like I said, everyone's looking forward to it. I know a lot of guys are excited, and I think we all can't wait to get started.
And you only have 9 days here until the opener, obviously a much shorter time than normal. What are you going to have to change or do differently to try to prepare in such a shorter time period?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, maybe the stuff that you wouldn't get to do in exhibition games, you got to try to do in practice as best you can. You know, maybe power play or for centerman face-offs or for wingers, you know, chipping the puck out or things like that, where, you know, you usually get the reps in preseason or exhibition games to do that. But in this short time, you got to find a way to do it in practice. And I think we're going to have some scrimmages, so maybe sometime do it there. But, you know, it's there's nothing really like playing in a game. So you got to try to find a way to get your energy back up and your conditioning and be ready for game one.
Jay, your line is active and you can go ahead.
Hey, Dylan, congrats on the new deal. As you got away from last season, did you gain any additional perspective on how the concussion and the ankle injury may have affected your play last year, especially at the end? And how much is health just a big key for your play this year?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I've knock on wood, but I haven't really had too many injuries in my lifetime in hockey, and the ankle was kind of my first real injury where I knew I couldn't play. I hurt it and tried to skate, you know, 1 or 2 days after, and you know, probably wasn't a great idea, and it was just something that, you know, hockey players always want to battle through their injuries, whatever they had, but it was unfortunate. I could barely stand up on my ankle, so tried to take the necessary time off. And looking back on it, probably should have taken a little bit more time. But like I said, as hockey players, you want to get back out there, and it sucks watching games and watching your team battle, and you're just sitting on the sidelines, not being able to help at all. So it was frustrating for sure. You know, like I said, it was my first kind of injury, so probably be a little more cautious next time. But as hockey players, like I've been saying, you never want to miss time, and you're competitive, so you want to get back out there and help your teammates, you know, on the ice each and every night. So was an unfortunate injury. It was pretty gross. I can't even watch it myself, and I cringe every time, you know, a guy falls like that or has an awkward, you know, knee or ankle or whatever it may be, where their leg kind of snaps back. It's not pretty to watch, and I don't think anyone likes seeing that for any player, any sport. So you see it a lot in football where guys are kind of falling on the knees or the ankles, and you know, I know what they're going through. It's tough. It's not fun. You know, lucky I didn't break anything, just a high ankle sprain. So feels good now, and looking forward to hopefully a healthy and a great year.
With what the team has absorbed the last week or so with injuries, you've already done all your preparation for this year. How important is it for that to have it not seep into your mind whether they need you more because of Jonathan and Kirby out here for a bit?
Yeah, I think you just got to play your own game. You know, I feel like I'm a confident player with the puck, and I know I can work on my defensive game a little bit, and hopefully continue to get better. I feel like when I'm on the ice, we create a lot of chances, and hopefully this year we can give up a few less chances. And then just continue to work on that. I feel like I'm a confident player when I get the puck and try to make plays and, you know, smart with it and you know, use my energy wisely. So just got to continue to do that. You know, there's obviously a lot of opportunity this year with those two guys going down and not sure how long Taylor's going to be out for. But, you know, I'm just going to be myself, you know, play hockey, have fun. You know, I love to be here. I love being around the rink. I love being around the guys. So I'm happy to be back and you know, look forward to the start of the season.
A bit of a step back last season for Dylan production-wise, due in part to injury and also an assignment on the wing for a while to see what he might be able to do there. But, you know, here's another young player. He turns just 24 in 2 months, who you hope this season cements his role as one of the team's future building blocks. An opportunity that's wide open. Those are words and phrases we've been hearing a lot so far. Yeah, almost theme-like in the wake of the injury circumstances. And that's the way this team must look at it as they open against the defending champs in a week. And that's no different when you listen to Jeremy Calton. You'll hear him now speak of roster and playing time decisions in this back and forth with the media earlier in the week, as well as the short prep time and makeup of the schedule, while he actually kind of likes and favors the setup this year. You'll also hear him explain why and also discuss the return of Andrew Shaw, who went through some of the same long layoff that Jeremy did as a player towards the end of his career, that following Shaw's latest concussion over 13 months ago. But Andrew's been there so far in camp. But we start with the head coach admitting that, you know, after the triple dose of bad news on the health front to end 2020, calendar year 2020, he is keeping a close tabs on this group's psyche as they get back at it, feeding into the cause of proving something that very few might expect.
Yeah, it was something we wanted to monitor, no question, but got to be excited about the opportunity we have to prove that we're more than people say. And that little chip on your shoulder is something we can use.
Is that, I mean, as a coach, are you a guy who's going to use that as fuel? Are you going to be pasting printouts of stories on the bulletin board, things like that? Are you that kind of coach?
It's of course, like you can't help. These guys are only human. And so are we. You're aware of how we're perceived, whether that's through media or fans or across the league. And we got something to prove. And it's a challenge for us as the coaching staff, but also the players we have to, we gotta be relentless in our, how we're going to work to get better. Just the mentality that's what we're focusing on is, relentless, determined, unselfish, play for the team, play anything for the team. And if we have that, that'll be a great foundation for us to, as I said, be more than people say we are.
Jeremy, it seemed like back in July when you guys went to fifth, third, you hit the ramp up to the bubble in stride, the high pace practices, and that kind of carried over into your matchup against the Oilers. Is there anything you can take from that experience and apply to these 9 days in hopes of starting the 56-game sprint in good fashion?
Yeah, we liked our camp in June, July. So we tried to debrief on that and take what we liked and do it again. But it's also there's a bunch of things we're trying to improve on and add to what we do in the next 8 days. Basically, we have of work days. So it's a shorter camp. So we've got to speed up the process of getting all the material to the players and getting them into game condition as well. But it definitely gave us some confidence as we prepared for this camp, having gone through it, with the COVID restrictions and just we've done it once before.
A lot of opportunities are on the table now with these recent injuries. How do you balance giving guys larger roles, but also not throwing everyone into the fire at once?
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, we're not going to play, 22 rookies. We're not going to play 22 guys under 25. It's going to be a mix. And part of that mix, we're trying to give our young players an opportunity to succeed by surrounding them with guys of quality. So we're going to, we're going to need some help from our veteran guys, but if guys are ready, then they're going to get in and they're going to get a chance, and we'll know when we see it. We'll let it play out, and that's part of what we're doing here in training camp is trying to get a look at certain players and seeing where they are right now. Having said that, if they don't look like they're ready for it this second, that doesn't mean they can't be ready in a few weeks or a few months. So they're all these young guys we're talking about. They're all at different spots in their progression. It's up to us to manage that and do everything we can to help them get better.
And branching off that, how big of an opportunity is this for Dylan Strome to really seize control of that first line center role?
Yeah, it was certainly unfortunate to lose Kirby and Taser, but it wasn't set in stone that we would play Stromer on the wing, but in certain, the condition, the situation we're in, obviously it's more than likely he will play center, and we got some pretty good wingers to play with. So it is an opportunity, but looking back at last year, the numbers, the production probably wasn't what he would like it to be, but I think he's a better player now than he was his first year with us, and it's an opportunity for him to show everyone that.
The first time that we've seen Andrew Shaw on the ice in over a year, what did you take from his day, and what sort of conversations have you maybe had with him? I mean, obviously you can relate to maybe what he's gone through.
Yeah, we've had a lot of talks through this process, and it's he wants to play, and I understand that all too well myself, and taking the time off that he has, he seems to be very confident in his health, and he's put a lot of work in off the ice and on the ice to prepare himself as best as he can to be a big part of our team. And that makes me happy. I mean, I'm happy for him. I'm proud of him. It's definitely been a tough, stretch of months for him, but he brings so much energy to our team, so much life, and he plays hard. Like that's what it's in his DNA. And that's a great, great influence on everyone who walks in this building. So happy to have him. And, obviously we all know there's risk, but he's checked all the boxes here, and he deserves the chance to try and play.
After practice, I saw you with Ian Mitchell and Duncan Keith was working with Michael Pertil. And how much of that of just the, I guess, being able to work with the young guys and maybe the one-on-one aspect will be important to, I guess the rebuild factor of the season or just, the development of those young guys?
Yeah, we're trying to build a development mentality here where every day, everyone who walks in the door, they come in with an intention to get better. And that's how we're going to become the team we want to be. And that's a cultural thing that we have to drive every day as a coaching staff, but it's also the leaders of our team and pushing the young players that when you walk in the door, it's not just playing in the NHL and this is amazing. It's there's work to do. And if you want to earn your spot and keep your spot, the work's got to be done. So, That's exciting.
With the losses that you've taken personnel-wise here over the last week or 10 days, that can't result in any change of approach or style or structure that you want to see from this team, even though, those guys provided such great offensive upside.
Yeah, we know how we want to play, and we know what the standards are going to be. And it's an opportunity for other players to show they can deliver. So we're gonna drive the standard, and I think the players are excited for the opportunity that's there for them. And we know there's a lot of work to be done, but that's exciting.
Does your job as coach change at all with not having Jonathan Toews around? Does that affect what you do at all?
Well, I mean, Johnny, he's very gracious with his time with the younger players, and he wants to help them, and he's given a lot of feedback. And so, of course we're going to miss that part that he brings, but as far as my approach, not really. I mean, I'm going to, I'm trying to get the team better, trying to prepare the team to play, help us win, get across the message of how we need to play and the little things that we need to do to make us competitive. And, I wouldn't think that part changes.
By the way, Jeremy seems to have taken a certain joy of putting Zadorov up against Patrick Kane early in practices during two-on-two drills. It's kind of fun to watch, and Zadorov actually does a pretty good job of keeping up, with a former Hart and Smythe winner, despite that 6'6", 235-pound frame of his. Carlton admitted that he's excited to try and mold this player into his full potential. Now, had he reached it previously in Colorado, he probably would have been available. But there is still upside for a guy who is still a very young player on a one-year deal, hoping to make the most of this and maybe make him a cornerstone of the blue line here moving forward. As far as the goalies go, still early. But all signs indicate that this will be a battle between Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia. Certainly not a big enough body of work to determine that competition yet. So we hope you enjoyed hearing from the three individuals we brought you, in their words with the media, on this Blackhawks Crazy podcast, Kane, Strom, Colleton. You will hear from us again before the puck drops in Tampa, so keep an eye out on Twitter for me. I'm at @BowdenTweets. From Joe, he is at @Joe_Brand1. That's the number one, @Joe_Brand1. Also via WGN Sports and WGNRadio.com. But the easiest way, of course, to find us and know when a podcast is dropped is to subscribe. So you'll have the freshest editions right there waiting for you as they become available. So thanks to Ernie Scatton for the introductory tones. To our producer, Curtis Koch, and as always, to you for giving us a listen. Have a safe, a great, a healthy rest of your week, and we'll be back early next week before the season drops versus the Bolts.
How about that?
They won it!
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup!
Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. Tell a friend, subscribe, and join the conversation. And follow the guys on Twitter, @BodenTweets, and @Joe_Brand1.
That was great!